I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
Like, whatever we're doing turns into a song, and, you know, sometimes they're reoccurring because we're doing bath time, and there's a song that I sing to him at bath time. Or early on, you know, when I was burping him, I had a song that was a burping song that lasts about as long as it takes to burp somebody. But, you know, I find that that's a great way to get through anything.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to The Dad Experience. Very exciting episode today. On today's show, we have Justin Roberts. Justin is a dad, and he's also a three-time nominated Grammy artist. Very excited to talk to Justin a little bit about his songwriting and how his parenting influences songwriting and all other things parenting.
Welcome, Justin, to the show.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. We're really excited to talk to you. So on every episode of The Dad Experience, we kind of start with just kind of getting a feel for who you are, who your family is, and kind of what's the makeup of your household and who lives with you at home.
Yeah, so my wife, Anna, and I have a 16-month-year-old son named Eli. And Anna is also a musician. She's a classical cellist. And we are having an interesting time being freelance musicians and having a child. It's a crazy time.
Right. Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it's tough. But, you know, especially when I would imagine when you like have gigs or whatever, or if you take a job. I mean, being a musician, I mean, I teach. That's my main job. But even just taking gigs here and there on the side or playing the local community musical or whatever, it's like you take the gig when you can get it. How do you guys kind of manage, you know, I just thought of this. How do you guys manage that? Like, what if you both had a gig on the same night, or do you try and like space it out, or how does it work?
We do our best to space it out, but it is that kind of thing where even if we have something set aside and planned, if another thing comes in, we almost have to try to figure out how to make it work. Yeah. So luckily we have, Anna's parents have been really awesome about helping us out in certain circumstances, because sometimes she'll have a festival for 10 days or so, and I'll get a gig in the middle of that, and we'll have to figure out how to get back and forth. And, you know, I try to go there with her when I can.
Yeah,
but it's a lot of juggling and a lot of last minute changes.
Now, are you guys? I know you guys are in the Chicago area. Are you both originally from there? Is that
no? Actually, my wife Anna's from Ann Arbor.
Michigan, right on.
That's where her folks still live. So, okay. And as it would happen, my parents met at the University of Michigan.
Wow.
So we have a lot of Ann Arbor connections.
Yeah.
But I'm originally from Iowa.
Okay.
That's where I grew up.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we both separately ended up in Chicago, I think both to go to graduate school. She went to music school at Northwestern, and I did a school or did a master's at the Divinity School in University of Chicago. And
wow.
Stuck around.
That's cool. I mean, Northwestern, that's impressive. Did she get her undergrad at U of M too?
No, she did her undergrad at Oberlin.
Oh,
in Ohio.
Whoa. Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah. For our listeners out there that don't know, that is really impressive. And then to go to Northwestern too, man, that's super impressive. That's cool. So a very musical family. Do you think that Eli's going to pick up on the music?
Yeah. I mean, I think he already has. I mean, in utero, he was listening to cello constantly. So that's a pretty intense experience, I'm sure. But yeah, he knows a handful of signs, and one of them is music. And so, like, when there isn't music, he'll do the sign for music, and we have a stereo in our living room, and he's pulling out albums, and I'm playing random things that he's pulling out, and
nice.
We listen to a lot of different stuff, and it's really fun.
Nice. So, you know, another question I have is, like, how did you guys handle music, you know, when your wife was pregnant? Did you guys do a lot of playing? Did you do a lot of singing? You know, I know my wife and I did. We're a music family too.
Yeah.
My wife played violin for 15 years, so she didn't study.
Oh my gosh.
And then I went to school for music education, obviously. And, you know, so we did more so with our first. Our second was kind of like, we're taking care of the first and trying to make sure my wife's healthy. But we did a lot of playing of music and singing and just all that great stuff. What did you guys do? Did you do that kind of stuff, or did you just kind of let it happen when you played?
You mean after he was born or before?
Or before. Did you do anything while she was pregnant?
Yeah. Well, I mean, while she was pregnant, she was playing up until 8 months and doing gigs. And, you know, I think she does this annual festival in Stanton, Virginia. every year. And she was 8 months pregnant, and Eli was like kicking, you know, when certain music was playing and her cello would be going flying. So it was a pretty fascinating experience, but we both tried to work right up until he came. And then we both took a little time off early on to not sleep for many months.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember those days. So do you, you know, I've kind of pondered this myself, but I'm curious for you, being a musical family, what do you, more than likely our kids are probably going to go into some sort of music, at least play or something. I'm guessing. I don't know for sure. How are you guys going to handle that? Are you going to take it as it may if they don't end up being a musician? Are you going to start them early? Kind of, have you thought about that? I know it's still early on, but have you thought about that?
We've been joking that we're just trying to have him become an accountant or something practical.
I was talking to my father this evening. We were going somewhere together, and I'm off on break this week, and I'm like, I'm going to encourage my girls to go into trade school. I really think I'm going to. I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. Then they could fix anything that I have problems with, but they're going to be able to. I mean, kids nowadays, if they go into that, man, those kids are going to have it made, I think, some of them, because I mean, our generation, I'm assuming we're similar in age, that we went and we were go to college, get your degree. And now it's like nobody went to trade school really. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, we joke about it too here. It's like, what are they going to do? So,
yeah, but he does seem very interested in music and musical instruments. And we have a lot of them around the house and we play a lot for him, and he's definitely tuned in. But
that's cool.
He's also good with a screwdriver, so who knows?
There you go. There you go. You never know. Some of the best musicians are engineers too. So, man, some of those guys that I went to school with, even in the marching band and stuff like that, those dudes were all like, and gals and guys, they were all like engineers. I don't know why. I don't know what was going on. A lot of them were engineers. They're like music majors and engineers, which is crazy to me. So
what age do you work with, high school or?
I work with high school. Teach high school band. Oh, I've done all of it, but that's where my main focus is.
Oh, that's fun.
So it is a lot of fun. So, you know, we've been talking, you're a musician, you create music for children and families. Can you tell us a little bit why creating and sharing music for our children is so important, and maybe why you got into creating music for children?
Yeah. So, I kind of fell into it. I was playing in a band in college, and moved to Minneapolis to pursue a career in music, whatever that meant. But I took a day job as a preschool teacher, partly because I'd worked at a preschool at college briefly, and I really just found 4-year-olds to be fascinating and funny. And I thought, well, this will be a rewarding way to make a small living while I'm also playing music. And while I was there, they knew I played music, so they were like, why don't you do music with the kids? And so I started playing, you know, the standard things, Itsy Bitsy Spider and stuff like that. But I was also playing Sam Cooke songs and Irish jigs and whatever seemed fun that wasn't inappropriate. And then I started writing songs for the kids there kind of on a whim, and just realized the breadth of what they would take in as children. It didn't always have to be really simple, that it could actually be somewhat complex lyrics if there was a good story and they would be into it. And, you know, from there, I just kept doing it because it was fun, with really no intention of being a children's musician. And then I made an album and I went to graduate school, you know, in something completely different. And the record kind of took off, and then I reassessed and decided to try it.
That's awesome. That is that's really cool to see that it kind of organically grew out of, I mean, obviously you were a musician already, but that genre kind of organically grew out of just working with kids. That's really
neat. Well, and there was a freedom to it. I think, like, I was writing, you know, for this indie folk band, and it was sort of serious and silly in its own way. But writing for kids, I just found, there was a real joy in it that was maybe lacking in the other music I was making, because I could do almost anything and I could play any style of music as long as the subject matter had something to do with what kids were going through or what they were trying to learn. You know, kids love ska and punk and all that stuff. So you can, you know, have a lot of fun making music for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is something that's really interesting. And I bet the reaction when you would write something like when you would write for those kids in preschool or for whatever you were performing for or whatever you were sharing, did you gear it towards things that were going on in the classroom, or was it just general stuff that you would write about?
Yeah. I started, the first song I ever wrote specifically for the kids was called Apple Tree because they were talking about apples for a month, like preschools do, you know, where you just stay on one subject. And, you know, I wrote a song about a seed growing into a tree and had a simple kind of body movement thing with it. And it resonated with them. But then I think the biggest surprise was the band that I played in, we played this song called Giraffe Nightingale that was this fable story that was, you know, written for adults, but it had animals in it. So I thought, well, I'll play it for the preschoolers. But it was just four verses in a row with no chorus and no repetition. And I thought, this isn't going to work. And they kept requesting it every day. And then they learned all the lyrics and sang it for their parents at an open house. And it was totally like them pushing it. I wasn't, you know, I was like thinking, well, I'll play this once and see what happens. But they liked it. And that was sort of a surprise. And then I realized you don't really have to gear it towards them. You just make something and then see if they respond to it. And you sometimes have no idea
right. If
they're going to or not.
You know? Right. Right. So, you know, kind of speaking on that same terms about getting ideas, how do you get your ideas like currently and continue to get your ideas for music? I mean, does it come from your parenting? Do you incorporate that into your music, your experiences through parenting to share through music? Because I know, isn't your latest album for families and children? Isn't the latest album?
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you gear it towards, you know, experiences you've had? How do you kind of do that?
Well, so I've been making kids records for 20 years and I only recently had a child. So all of the music I made prior to this was from my own memories or friends telling me things or kids coming up to me and saying, you should write a song about this. But a lot of it is really vivid memories of my own childhood, I think, that got me writing in this genre. And the new record is really different because I was trying to write another kind of fun rock kids record before Eli was born. And a lot of other stuff was going through my mind, obviously, because Anna was pregnant and there's all the worries and joys and concerns and various things that go through your mind. And so I started writing songs about that experience, really just for myself and Anna, not thinking that I was going to put this out. I was really trying to make another kind of record. But once I had a bunch of songs, Anna was really insistent that I should release them because they were beautiful and we should just see what happens. So this record is really particular because it's more, almost entirely from a parental perspective. There's maybe one or two songs that have a little bit of a child's view, but it's different in that way. But it's a lullaby-ish type record in that sense, the comforting side of it. But it's different. And the cool thing about it was, as I was writing and arranging it, I was doing pretty minimalist stuff and using a lot of cello just because it's my favorite instrument aside from being married to a cellist. But we ended up subbing a lot of the bass parts and doing Pitts cello. And so Anna and I are playing most of the record together as the basic tracks. And there's piano and marimba and horns and a bunch of other things, but she's playing on most of it, which is really fun. And
that is cool.
Meaningful since it's kind of a record for our son. And
yeah, as I say, it's a nice gift for him later on. Yeah. I mean, to realize that that's where that kind of came from, which is really unique and neat for him.
Yeah. And even the basic tracks, are the producer that I've worked with forever, Liam Davis, suggested that we do them with Anna and I across from each other in the studio. So we were just like looking at each other and playing. And so, you know, that added a whole different element to it, which was cool.
I bet that's really neat. So kind of the flip side of that is, and we talked a little bit about this, so I kind of think I know part of the answer, but do you guys incorporate music into your parenting style? Do you utilize it for anything for your day-to-day life? Would, you know, whether it be structure in the day or, you know, whatever, do you guys utilize it?
Yes. I mean, I'm constantly singing to him no matter what we're doing. It's completely silly and probably things that I would never, you know, put on anyone else to listen to except for he and I. But that's part of what's fun. It's like whatever we're doing turns into a song. And, you know, sometimes they're reoccurring because we're doing bath time and there's a song that I sing to him at bath time. Or early on, you know, when I was burping him, I had a song that was a burping song that lasts about as long as it takes to burp somebody. But, you know, I find that that's a great way to get through anything. Like if you're changing his diaper and he's not interested in it, if I start making it into a song, it becomes a little bit more fun and he becomes a little more interested. And smiles and laughs and all of those things. So
Have you found kind of when you started to, if you, did you use the same song or same thing every time, or did you make something new up every time?
I have been using a lot of the same songs, and trying to create little moments for him to respond. Mm-hmm. And that's been fun to watch. At first, like nothing at all. And then like the look of, oh, I think I know you want me to do something during this part.
Yeah.
And then occasionally making a sound, and it's like, he's getting really close to it. So yeah, it's fun.
Do you think that kind of by doing that and utilizing the same song, do you think that it kind of created a routine, or did it help with any routine like that? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so say you had the burping song, let's just take that one. Just and you sang the same song every time. Was it easier as you felt like you went farther along when you started using that song? Did it make it a little bit easier, or, you know, does that make sense?
Even for him, you know, sometimes, you know, he's like, oh, I don't want to go over your shoulder and do a burp. But if I start singing that song, he'll be like, oh, I know what we're doing right now. Like,
right. It's
this thing. And like, it's, yeah. And the same thing with bath time, like coming out, he's really loves the bath, but coming out of the bath is not a fun experience.
Right.
But if I turn this into a song and make it part of the song, then it's a little, sometimes eases it. And I'm like, wow, he didn't cry.
Right. You know? It's almost like, for lack of better terms, it's almost like Pavlov's dog with our kids. It's like you train them to do these things, and we can. So it's really unique perspective to do that. I might have to try coming up with the same song, not just making something up.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'll improv something with my daughters and you know, just when we're changing a diaper, like you said, when they're a little crabby about it or getting out of the bath, same type of woes. But maybe that's a great idea. Maybe I'll have to steal that one from you.
No, you should totally do it. And I mean, I love like doing this now. I think, you know, this must happen in a lot of households and these improvised songs that most of them I forget, like after doing them once, but in the moment I'm like, this is super fun. Like I'm loving this, you know, I don't know.
Maybe a new album for you. Come up with like a routine
all
album for the kids.
Exactly.
All the things. There you go. Hey man, I would buy it, memorize it, and do it if it works. No worries there. So
exactly.
Well, we're gonna take a short break here. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is available on all podcast networks. You can email us experienceanddad@gmail.com if you have a question for me, or you have a show idea, or you wanna have a direct a question at one of our past guests, just shoot us an email, let us know, and we'll be back more with Justin after the break, talking a little bit more about his music and more about parenting. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We're here with Justin Roberts. He is a musician. He's a fantastic musician. My daughters and my wife and I have been listening to the music for the last couple weeks and really enjoying it on our car rides and different things. So check out his albums. Look him up. We'll put his website in our show notes so you can find that. But we're going to continue on here a little bit more with his music and parenting. So we talked about creating music for kids and incorporating it and all that good stuff. But you have a new album out called Wildlife. What we kind of a little bit talked about, the inspiration was kind of like an ode to your son, but was there any other influences to this album, or what drove you to this album outside of that? Or was it just kind of you and your wife were like, you've got to put this music down and record it? Was there anything else that kind of was an extenuating factor in that?
Well, I guess I would say the one thing was, and I think oftentimes when I'm creating stuff, I do have an idea of what I want to do, and I never am able to do whatever that is. Like it always comes out, whatever's inside my head. And with this record, the first song I wrote was this song called When You First Let Go, that the first line is, the first thing I remember of is moving back and forth in time with you, which was an idea of like being on a swing and your mother or father like pushing you or letting you go. And then that image turned into a few other things. And I'd finished the song and I was like, I don't know who this is for. And I don't know like who the audience is. It's not clearly a children's song, but it's about childhood and it's about all of us being born and experience and being in time. And a lot of these other songs that came out, it was sort of that thing where I was sitting down to write, you know, a fun, silly song about being an astronaut or something. And then I would write a song about wondering who my child was going to be. And I wrote a song called Maybe She'll Have Curly Hair. And the day I finished it, we got a call from the hospital saying we were having a boy. So like, it was like, you know, these songs just sort of came out just from the experience of waiting for Eli to arrive to when he, after he arrived, I wrote a song called You Grew from a discussion that I had with my neighbor, where I said 2 weeks in, I was like, hey, we're starting to get the hang of it. You know, things are starting to fall into place. And she goes, yeah, but once you get the hang of it, they grow and change. And like, my kids are teenagers and I still don't know what I'm doing. Like, and I thought that was a great message for parenting, that it's like, you know, it's sort of like the Sisyphus pushing the rock up the hill, that every once in a while you think you've reached the top and then it falls back down and you have to start over again.
Yeah, I think I've heard that, and I still, you know, after even talking to my parents who are now older, retired, and have grandchildren, I still don't think they've let go of all that all the time. You know what I mean? It's always like, we're still their kids, and they're still going to be our kids. They're still going to be our kids. So even when we're old and gray, and they're doing their thing, you're always going to kind of be like, okay, what do I got to do next to kind of help them get to the next point? You know?
Yeah. So, no, it's no. Anna's mother, like Anna and she were talking about just the kind of intense worry you have, especially early on with an infant, and it's so delicate and you're just wanting to be careful and making sure everything's okay. And her mom was like, yeah, it's still like that even now with me and you. Like, I still feel worried about you and I wonder if you're okay. And you know, it just never ends.
And yet we keep having kids and wanting that worry, right?
Exactly, I guess.
Right? We torture ourselves as humans, I guess. But you know what? Nothing else is, my opinion, nothing else has been better, you know, aside from maybe getting married. Nothing else has been like, just, I don't know, you can't put your finger on it. The best thing I ever heard described about having a child was that feeling you got, you know, if people celebrate, if you celebrate Christmas, that feeling you got when you were a kid, when you woke up on Christmas morning, like that's the only I can kind of like get the feels close, but I can't even describe it. People always ask, and it's like, I can't tell you why it feels great or what the feeling is. It's just amazing. So,
yeah. I had a really funny experience, right after Anna had found out she was pregnant, but we weren't telling anyone. I went to do a book reading at the Science Museum on the South Side. And I met the stay-at-home dad, super nice guy, had two daughters that were maybe 8 and 6 or something like that. I could just tell from observing a really cool, involved dad. And we were talking a little bit and he's like, oh, you have kids yourself? And I was like, no, you know, cause I didn't. And we weren't saying anything at this point. And he goes, oh, God bless you. And I said, what? I'm like, you have these two daughters. You seem like the most awesome dad. You're having a great time. He's like, oh no, I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. But once you have kids, it's like a vortex that you can never return from. Just like the idea of like the difference that happens. And I totally get that, because there is that worry. There's that joy and wonder, you know, but there's just that change in your life where it becomes all about somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just a major shift that happens, I think.
Right. So you have some shows coming up, or you've been playing some shows too. And from what I was reading, it's, you guys are doing some creative stuff outside of even just the music, right? Can you kind of tell us a little bit about the tour, the shows that you've been putting on?
Yeah, we're doing a brand new show called Be Your Own Band, where we're trying to encourage kids to make musical instruments out of trash and boxes and rubber bands and wax paper and that kind of thing. And during the course of the show, each member in the band brings out some object that they can play as a musical instrument that they made. And we play a few songs together just using those instruments. It's like a one string bass with a shoebox and a kazoo made out of a toilet paper roll, and our drummer playing a paint can and that kind of thing. And it's super fun. And we've only done it a few times so far where it's been that whole show, but we've gotten a lot of feedback from parents where they're like, my kid came home and made 3 shoebox guitars and decorated them. And, you know, I think it's great because it just sort of continues the creative process after the show's over, which I love.
Right. And you have some shows coming up, which we can mention right now. And you have one in Michigan coming up. So I know we have a lot of Michigan listeners too. I mean, outside of Michigan we do, but a lot of them are here in Michigan. So I know my family's going to try and make it down there. We are going to make it down there for it, but you know, let folks know, you know, kind of what's coming up for you.
Yeah. So, we have a big concert this weekend in Chicago at the Old Town School of Folk Music. I don't know when this will air, but
it's airing right, like actually tomorrow.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, then yes. So yeah, we're playing this weekend at the Old Town. And then we are playing in Denver, Colorado, at the Newman Center I'm going to probably get these dates wrong, but I'm going to say March 7th.
And we'll make sure they're in the show notes too. We'll make sure that your website's in the show notes. I'm assuming your tour dates are all in there too.
Yeah. And then our Michigan show is at the Arc, which is a great, lovely venue that we play once a year in Ann Arbor, Michigan on March 21st. We're going to be in Los Angeles in early April at McCabe's Guitar Shop in Santa Monica, and Minneapolis, Minnesota later in April at the Cedar Cultural Center, which is another great folk venue.
Cool.
Much like the Arc.
Well, before we close out and we're going to kind of let people know where they can find you, we have a reoccurring segment here on the Dad Experience, things we can't wait to see or share through our children's eyes or experience. It could be something that you experience that you're really looking forward to seeing. It could be anything. It could be from a film to a dinner to a life experience. There's no right or wrong answer, but is there something out there that you're really excited to share or see through Eli's eyes and kind of experience again, or just even witness, you know, that you're really a life event that you're excited to see?
You know, it's funny because even this morning, this book fell out of our bookshelf and I was noticing that it was very worn and maybe even a little moldy because it's from my childhood. And it's a book that he'll probably have to be a little bit older to experience it. But The Little Prince was always a favorite book of mine as a kid. And also as I got older, reading that because I had a babysitter who used to read that to me as a young child even. And I was just looking at that this morning and thinking, I can't wait to get to share that story with him because it's a beautiful one.
It is. That's a really beautiful story. That's a great, great answer. Thank you for sharing that. So now's your chance. How can folks find you, Justin? Where can they get all the information, you know, social media, whatever, website? How can they find you?
Yeah, the easiest way is my website, which is justinrobertsmusic.com. And that will lead you to every social media link and Spotify playlist that you could ever want. But there's a lot of great information there. There's videos and links to all the songs and all that kind of stuff and concerts. Mm. So yeah.
Great. And then your tour dates are all on there too, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Cool. So folks can find that. Well, it's been a pleasure. I really appreciate you joining us and taking your time out of your day to share a little bit about fatherhood and about all the music you've got going on.
Yeah. Great talking with you.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks so much. Don't forget that the Dad Experience, you can email us experienceanddad@gmail.com. Maybe you have a question for Justin, you have a question for me, you have a show idea, let us know. We can always find you the answer or get you the information or address it on the next episode. And until next time, thanks for listening to the Dad Experience.